Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 1,467,284 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast. We are immortal. I am your host. My name is Eric Wahlquist. And joining me this week, as he does each and every week, is the other host of this show. His name is?
Jesse Wilson.
Yeah, we didn't do any nicknames this week.
I forgot. I normally get one prepared, and I didn't think about it till now.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Jesse, take a bite out of cheek, Wilson.
Yeah, that's an apt one. My mouth decided that it would ingest itself.
Uh-huh.
And I decided to take a giant chunk out of my own cheek.
Sometimes you got to take a chunk out of your cheek.
That's true. Just to show it who's boss.
That's the thing. Like, sometimes you got to rip a fingernail off. Just to be like, body, this is me. And then your body's going to hate you for like 3 or 4 days, maybe a week. But you got to just say, body, this is me, all right? Sometimes I'm going to do something that's a nagging pain for a long time.
And I'm going to poison you with alcohol basically every day.
Basically as much as I can.
Deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that irks me about this. Like, obviously, humans evolved to have pain because you need to know that something's wrong with your body, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you need to understand that. It's kind of weird to me because, like, if you're a cave, if you're Cro-Magnon walking around southern, you know, southeastern Europe and you tear your ACL, there's really nothing you could do about it.
Like, right. You can... At a certain point, it's just punitive.
Right, exactly.
Like, you should have done that.
Yeah. Hey, now. But that's
you really should not have turned so sharply when you were running away from that jaguar.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with it, is like, I wish that you could just, like, acknowledge the pain and then it would turn off.
Yeah, I think everyone has thought that, but we're not quite there.
We're not quite...
In the future. Maybe... In the future, it'll be in our, like, heads-up display that's right in front of our eyeballs at all times, just a switch you can activate with your brain cursor.
Mm-hmm. Acknowledge pain.
Yeah, off.
maybe it's like your oil light, like the dealership has to turn it off.
Your mom has to turn it off.
Yeah, first your mom, then your doctor. Well, that's how you know you become a man, when the doctor gets to turn off your pain light. Oh, man. Jesse, we are the Personal Arrogance Podcast. How was your week, buddy?
I took yesterday off sick.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You got the crud.
I got the crud. Let's just say that my porcelain throne, it looked like if Jackson Pollock was administering a Rorschach test and his only medium was chocolate pudding.
Holy shit, that's like death blood.
It was no good.
So let me get this straight. You've been vomiting like crazy. Oh, wait, maybe not that end. Okay,
yeah,
now
other
I
end.
Now I understand.
Yeah.
I was just saying, like, if you're vomiting, then you would have to, then the mouth sore could be a real issue.
That's true.
Bile in the Mouth Sore is the name of my new death metal album. anyway. Well, that's a bummer, dude. At least you get a day off from work to be sick.
Yeah, exactly.
And then at least you'll get your baby sick, and then she'll be sick, and then your wife will be sick, and then everyone will be sick.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it was something I ate.
Yeah, maybe that. That sounds plausible. Well, in the meantime, I booked a vacation yesterday.
I heard.
Going to Maui. Maui Wowie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited about this thing. You know, you went to Hawaii this summer.
I did. I think you're doing it right going in the winter.
Yeah. We're going December 12th through 18th. So if anybody's in Maui, December 12th through 18th, leave me alone. I'm on vacation.
Yeah, that's a good call.
But we want to go. I've never been to Maui. I've been to the Big Island in Oahu and Kauai. So I wanted to go to Maui. But I really wonder, like, are we missing out on anything being West Coasters? Because, like, you know, if you're on the West Coast, you want to go someplace warm. Domestically, you're going to California. If you want to cross some water, you go to Hawaii. East Coast, you want to go someplace warm. Domestically, you're going to Florida. Want to cross some water, you're going to the Caribbean.
Right.
But I love Hawaii, dude. I love it there. It's like the most relaxing place. You're technically still in America. You don't even need to go through customs or anything. You do need to fill out that sheet on an airplane that says you're not bringing in any contraband fruits in your carry-on. But, I mean, other than that, like, Hawaii's just super relaxing. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, you do have to get checked for mm-hmm. fruits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when Tasha and I were there, she was eating a mango that was full of worms.
Those were foreign worms, okay? Those were illegal worms. They were smuggled in, and now, okay. Now no one can have mangoes.
Yeah, well, I think the worms are out of the bag.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Be careful with the local fruit is what I'm saying.
It's just crazy because you go over there, and, like, the islands are so small. They're tiny little islands.
I don't know. The Big Island felt pretty big.
The Big Island is big, but the Big Island, I think you can fit all of the other islands of Hawaii into the Big Island.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, Kauai is tiny, and Maui is, like, 15 miles tall. Anyway.
Yeah, they're small. It's kind of weird to think that a bunch of people live there.
Well, I'm just excited about it, dude. Like, I've downloaded the soundtrack to The Descendants, which is a George Clooney movie from 2 years ago that took place in Hawaii, and it's, like, all Hawaiian music. And I'm just, like, riding the bus today in gray, foggy Seattle, listening to Hawaiian music, getting pumped to go to Hawaii and chill out.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Maui Wowie coming.
Now, are you going to drink a bunch of Hawaiian beer, or are you going to drink a bunch of rum-based drinks?
I'm kind of a Mai Tai guy when I go to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Love the Mai Tais. There is the Maui Brewing Company, though, so we talked about...
Yeah, you gotta check that out.
Yeah, going there, and of course they got Kona down there as well, so...
Right.
Anyway, I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse, speaking of beer, what are you drinking this week?
Oh, I'm just finishing up some of my homebrew that I had last week, and then mm-hmm. I'm going to move on to free beer from work.
That sounds great, ma'am. Yeah, as everybody knows, last week I sampled my first pumpkin beer, and this week I said screw that, because guess what? Pyramid Snowcap's in town.
Oh, how is it this year? I haven't had it yet.
Not as good, not as smooth as last year. I think last year was one of the best batches. I mean, last year was my favorite winter seasonal. And this is, you know, admittedly the first winter seasonal that I'm drinking this year. But I can't, it just doesn't have that smoothness that it had. But it's still great, dude.
That's still what's really great about craft brewing. It's like the NFL. There's parity.
There really is.
Any given year.
Yeah. I mean, Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale is kind of my old stalwart for the winter seasonal. Last year, not that excited about it. So we'll see what happens this year if the champion can return. Similarly, 2 years ago, Slayer was amazing, and then last year, Slayer was not that great.
Yeah, it sunk it up. It's interesting, and I wonder how much of that is actually just like your own taste changing from year to year.
Yeah, that's probably part of it. But, I mean, there are subtle changes.
Yeah, totally.
In the seasonal. Jesse, do we have a dedo for this week?
Oh, I don't.
Okay, I'm going to dedicate this week's episode to none other than Mr. Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
Because he won me my fantasy league this week, dominating the Titans at home. It's almost gotten to the point where if the Seahawks aren't playing, like, a big team, like, you know, the 49ers at home, it's kind of boring to watch the games, and I hate to say that. But, like, even this game was weird. Because the Seahawks were trailing at halftime after probably the dumbest play ever in the history of the Seahawks. Like, so this is what happened. Basically, the kicker got a concussion. Stephen Hauschka, the kicker, I guess he didn't get a concussion because he came back in the game. But he got hit on a kickoff because he tried to tackle a guy. And a kicker should never try to tackle anybody, especially head on. His head snapped back. His nose was bleeding. They took him back to evaluate him. So you have the punter, John Ryan, trying to kick a field goal from the 2-yard line with 3 seconds left on the clock in the first quarter. John Ryan is usually the guy who holds the kicks, which means that they had a backup holder and a backup kicker. John Ryan's never kicked a field goal in the history of his career. So, anyway, the guy botches the snap. For some reason, tries to throw it, fumbles the ball. The Titans run it in for a touchdown. Luckily, that was the only touchdown that the Titans scored in the game. Because the Seahawks defense is so good at home, it kind of gets a little boring to watch.
Well, be careful what you wish for, Eric.
I know. Maybe the Seahawks should have a new slogan. So good, it's boring.
I think they should have had Russell Wilson try and drop kick it through the uprights.
Yeah, Doug Flutie. He is like the modern day Doug Flutie. That's a Doug Flutie move. Classic exactly. Doug Flutie. I think that they should have run it in, honestly. Like, you're at home. Like, yes, you can take the points and get 3 points, but you're at home. You're on the 2-yard line. Marshawn Lynch is averaging 1.8 yards per carry in the red zone this year. Just give it to Marshawn Lynch and see if he can ram it in, because the guy, nobody can tackle him, dude. Anyway.
Yeah, that's what retrospect tells us he should have done.
I love Marshawn Lynch is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. You know who else I love, Jesse? I love our listeners. And I love when they give us a call at 360-362-0024. And a lot of them did this week.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's time to pour through some listener feedback. We're going to start all the way down in Denver, Colorado. Here we go.
Hey, Eric and Jesse. This is Cody. I'm a longtime listener out of Denver, and I actually realize I've been listening to you guys for a year now, so that's weird. But I just got out of the Great American Beer Fest and figured I'd give you guys a call and say hello. It's been too long listening to you guys. Figured I'd add my voice to the conversation. But I also met a guy named Dr. in quotations, Bill Sisick, who is Stone's lead guy for, brewing and food pairings. And I figured it'd be fun if you guys shot him an email. Anyway, that was awesome. But just wanted to call in, say hello, say the Great American Beer Fest was awesome. So much beer. So much fun. And, yeah, it was great. But anyway, wanted to say hello. And, well, go Broncos and stay off my back. Keep being awesome.
Stay off my back, Cody. Cody, yeah, Great American Beer Fest. Jess, do you have any inkling to go to this thing eventually?
I would like to. I had a sliver of an opportunity to go this year, but it just didn't pan out.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
It's it's not like we know anybody who lives in that area that we can.
Well, that was
with.
The thing. I was like, Levi, make sure you get this specific weekend off because you and I are going to Great American Beer Festival. And he's like, sorry, I'm going to be in Montana.
Montana?
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, anyway, Cody, he accompanied that with an email. He said the Schutz was the best part with their full line of bar-only beers. The sour wrecked my palate, but was good. But in second place was definitely Stone. I mentioned your podcast, The Bartender, and the story behind how the podcast came about over Arrogant Bastard, and he gave
That's
me
hilarious.
His card. That is really
I wonder
funny.
What this guy thought about that.
I wonder. Maybe we shouldn't email him. Deschutes, that's pretty good. It had a good showing. I mean, like I said, we can't say enough good things about Deschutes.
Yeah, Washington State had its worst ever showing in the JBF.
What are you going to do, man?
Taking home only 4 medals, 0 golds.
Jeez.
2 went to Elysian, 1 went to Skip Madsen over at American Brewing Company, mm-hmm. and I forget who took the 4th one, but it was a bad year for Washington.
Dude, speaking of Oregon beers, I've been drinking the Terminal Gravity Summer Seasonal. I'm kind of sad that it went away, but it's their Weed Whacker Summer Ale. Mm-hmm. It was on like basically clearance at my local market, and I drank so much of that stuff. It is delicious, and it's like 4.8%.
Did you pick up a summer seasonal and a winter seasonal at the same time?
I did. I did that earlier in the week.
That's funny.
On Friday, I had a 22 of Pyramid Snow Cap and a 6-pack of Terminal Gravity Weed Whacker.
That is hilarious.
It was awesome. It was awesome stuff. All right, up next we got I think this is the originator of the Get Off My Back. It's Sean from Texas. Here he is.
Hey guys, it's Sean from Texas. I'm sober this time, so this call might not be as good. Anyways, Eric, I really love your movie idea, and Jesse's casting suggestion of Jeff Foxworthy is great because you can have a scene where he's hiding behind a tree and he comes out, slits a guy's throat, just looks at him and says, "Looks like you might be a redneck." Also, on the subject of pumpkin beers, stay clear of pumpkin cider. I had some Woodchuck limited pumpkin cider, and it was definitely sickeningly gross, which I usually really like Woodchuck. Anyways, I will talk to you guys later. Stay arrogant and get off my back to the hotel, to the motel, to the Holiday Inn. Say what?
Say what, Sean? Dude, that is the funniest thing ever.
Love the line.
Jeff Foxworthy slitting a guy's throat in the action movie. and then saying you might be a redneck. It's the worst. It's the worst, but it's hilarious. Oh my god, we got to make this movie. This movie has to be made. If anybody wants to bankroll it, just send us an email, personalnuggets@gmail.com. I think we could do it for like a mil too.
Mm-hmm. Send us an email, or better yet, just send us a check.
Yeah, for a mil too.
A cashier's check.
Definitely. We only accept cashier's checks here. All right, let's move on. Now we've done Denver. We've done Mountain Time Zone. We've done Texas and Central Time Zone. We got to do East Time Zone. Here we go. It's our good friend Jay from Solero Beach.
Hey, guys. This is your friendly neighborhood Floridian Jay calling in again. Eric, glad to hear that you've had the pumpkin. Stuff's great. One thing is if I were to choose a Halloween movie villain to have or sit down and hang out with, it'd probably be Lunch. It'd probably be Jason off of Friday the 13th, just because he doesn't really, you know, say very much, and I'm a big talker, rambler, and just go on for hours. I feel like he would just sit there, enjoy his lunch, and just listen to me talk. Anyway, I have a question. What is your favorite Halloween candy, if you have one? And that's it. Love the show, guys. Get off my back.
Get off my back, Jay. This is not Hot Babe Jay. Do not confuse us with Hot Babe Jay. Jesse, interesting question here. What's your favorite Halloween candy?
I don't get it. I mean, Halloween specific candy?
Yeah, because come on, when else do you eat fun size candy? I mean, and I'm not talking about fun size Mr. Good Bar that you get at the dentist office, because you have a terrible dentist if that's the case.
Yeah.
I am talking about the bite size. I'll tell you what mine are. It's easy. It comes to mind. I have two. It's the Reese's Cup single and the Kit Kat double. The Kit Kat 2 bar. Like, Halloween's the only time you eat the Kit Kat 2 bar. Right? Mm-hmm. But the greatest thing is that now they sell these in a bundle. You can buy these at Safeway. I noticed this 2 years ago. I posted it on Reddit and got 3 downvotes. They make a bag that is Reese's single cups and Kit Kat 2 bars.
Wow.
In one bag.
That's made just for you.
I can't buy it because, first of all, I don't get any trick-or-treaters, and second of all, I would eat them all before they came. But, you know, there's a lot of classic things. Like, you know, when you're a kid, you're trick-or-treating. There's those certain ones. Like, you get the Whoppers, you're kind of bummed, right?
I like Whoppers.
You like the Whoppers? Then they have the Dots box. Do you like the Dots box?
No, Dots are disgusting.
In the Dots box, they all meld together into a Mega Dot. You also, one of the ones that I was always excited about was the Mini Nerds box.
Yeah, Mini Nerds is good. Yeah. I don't know, I guess I just like the regular candy bars that are, like, so, like, super small size that they're, like, squares.
Yeah.
They're not even rectangular in shape.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna say Three Musketeers in that.
Oh, yeah, like the little tiny cubes.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. I mean, I like the Milky Way there. But the Three Musketeers is solid because it doesn't get stuck in your braces.
Exactly.
Right.
I like Three Musketeers because it's just nougat.
Yeah. Do they make a Twix that size? I don't think I've ever seen a Twix that size.
I don't think so, because I think, like, the tube shape is critical to the Twix.
You're right. They do. They do, like, the little Kit Kat-sized Twix. If they had a Kit Kat-sized Twix peanut butter, then that would be my jam to the max.
There you go.
I guess we could talk about Halloween candy a lot, but we can't because we have... So we've been moving progressively eastward, and we've been to Florida. Now the only place to go is across the pond. We have a brand new call from an international guy, and I'm very, very excited about this, so take it away.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller here. This is Damien calling from Dublin, Ireland. I just was listening to your most recent podcast there, and... some guy drunk dog, just so I said, I'm just walking home from the pub here now, so I said, here, I'll give the lads a call. I'm just wondering, I wonder, am I the only person in Ireland that listens to you, or is there many other people that do that? I know you were saying in the last one that Texas is a bit of a hotbed for your podcast, so you can obviously see where people are listening to you or where people are downloading it. So, we've listened to you guys for a long time. We got kind of turned on to you from the Bald Move Network. Listen to kind of Breaking Bad and Walking Dead podcast there, and they turned me on to you guys. I think the first one I listened to was Eric's bachelor party, so I'd say that's over a year ago now anyway, and I've listened to everyone since then and put a good dent into your library before that. I don't know why I listen to your podcast, why I think it's so cool. Like, I don't play board games, I'm not really much of a gamer either, and PlayStation or Xbox, and I don't like superheroes, but just you guys seem to make that so interesting just to listen to you just talk about it to each other. But I do have something in common. I love craft beer. It's kind of hard to find in Dublin at the moment. Like, it's only kind of getting turned on to that now, but I try and find it where I can. And Eric, I'm a big baseball fan. I'm a bit of a Boston Red Sox guy myself. They're just about to start the ALCS now, and it started about a half an hour ago, so I'm going to watch as much of that as I can before I fall asleep. But I just want to know if you guys have many listeners in Ireland, if you know, or if I'm the only one. Anyone I've ever talked to doesn't seem to be. It's not a big podcast place kind of Ireland, but especially in that farm podcast. There's a few Irish ones that are kind of popular, but I'm just wondering if I'm the only one or what the story is. So looking for, I can't wait to cringe and listen to this now next Thursday or Friday whenever you guys put it up. But that's about it. So get off my back, and looking forward to hearing from you guys.
That is freaking awesome. Call from Ireland, dude. Dublin, Ireland. That's like you got blood there, don't you, Jesse?
Well, in some respect,
yeah.
I guess.
You got a small, you got Irish blood in you.
Yeah, but,
you're rocking the red beard.
Yeah, it's, that's a place of origin, but, we've been bounced around a bit.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you get arrested in old Britain, right?
Sometimes they put you on a boat.
You get shipped off.
Sometimes they send you to Australia.
Well, I actually...
a bad deal, by the way. I mean, I'm so poor that I'm resorting to highway robbery to
right.
feed my family, and there's a famine imposed by these British douchebags right next to me. Okay, then they're going to ship me off. Hey, Australia, I live here now. This giant country full of wealth and prosperity.
Wait, it's sunny all the time?
And it's sunny all the time.
Nobody told me it was sunny all the time.
Mm-hmm. Get your sunscreen, you freckle-faced bastard.
Yeah, that actually was torture pre-sunscreen.
That's true.
Well, let's see here. I've actually got the country stats here. So it's really interesting looking at these. Total downloads, United States, obviously, number one. USA, number one!
I'll never do that again.
Yeah. Up next, you got the UK. Then Australia.
Sorry, what I just said about you.
Yeah. Then Australia. Then Canada, which is weird. It's weird that Canada is number four.
Mm.
So it goes U.S., U.K., Australia, Canada, then Germany. Then this one's out of left field, Guyana.
Mm?
It's really interesting. If there are any listeners from Guyana, please give us a call 360-362-0024. It is an English speaking country.
There you go.
Then after Guyana, then...
I think a bunch of non-English speakers are listening to our podcast.
You got Guyana, then you got the Netherlands, then Mexico, and then Ireland. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You're ninth. And then guess where number 10 is?
France?
Shabbat Shalom. Israel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Israel, Spain, Sweden, Japan, Austria, Vietnam, Thailand, Korea, India, and France. What's wrong with you, France? So anyway, that's our listener stats. But I could not be more excited to get a call from Ireland.
Yeah, honestly. I can check something off the old accomplish in life. An authentic Irishman just referred to me and you as the lads.
That's yes, perfect.
That's fantastic.
I feel great about that. Just a couple quick emails that came in. Hot Babe Jay, this is Hot Babe Jay. He says, both of you guys seem to be smart guys. I was curious as to what each of your favorite subjects in school might have been. I would guess that Eric was a good overall student while Jesse excelled in science. Just a guess. Get off my back, Jay. Hot Babe Jay. Excelling in science, Jesse?
Nope.
More like a humanities bro.
Yeah, I did history. I was a really bad high school student.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Really?
Yeah.
You're on a knowledgeable team?
I got... I knew stuff, but I got bad grades.
Mm.
And I also... I was something of a student athlete, but I was also a really bad athlete. I did track and was bad at it.
Yeah, I did...
also did drama, and I was bad.
You were not bad.
I was pretty bad.
You got into drama because I walked up to you one day at the lunch line after we had hung out on the Knowledgeable Bus. And I said, yo, bro, the villain in Much Ado About Nothing just dropped out. I think you'd be perfect for the part. And then all of a sudden, drama Jesse.
Yeah, and it was not a pretty sight.
I thought it was awesome. So our version of Much Ado About Nothing, which Joss Whedon fans will be really excited that we were actually in this play, but it was set in the Wild West.
Yeah, it was.
So Jesse was the black hat, if you will. He wore a black hat and black chaps.
The only class I really did well in was government.
Yeah. Government, man. I took comparative government.
You would. I did U.S. government.
Yeah, comparative government like was easy government. Anyway, Mark Griffin says, I got Catan last year for my birthday, and we've been playing it two players for the last couple months. Any other recommended board games that work well for 1 to 4 players? Thinking about Arkham Horror and Citadels, but have never played either. I would not play Arkham Horror 2 players.
No, I wouldn't either.
Nope.
Get all creatures great. All creatures big and small. The new 2-player. It takes about 40 minutes to play version of Agricola. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, I also cannot recommend Citadels enough for 2 players.
Yeah. Battle for Hill 218, of course. Mm-hmm. 2-player Blockus.
Mm-hmm.
I like Agricola as a 2-player game, but that's a big investment.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, what was the other one that he had here? Carcassonne's pretty good 2 players.
Oh, Carcassonne is great 2 players.
Yeah, but definitely Citadels. Get Citadels, Mark. Okay, let's do a little
time. Oh, a little game, I don't know if you've heard of it, called Chess.
Oh, man. Jesse, let's go ahead and move on to a little tiny minute roll-off. What do you say?
Yeah, let us.
Each going to roll a 20-sided die here. So get to see who gets to talk first on the podcast this week. And here we go.
9.
15, baby.
Oh, you are streaky.
I am streaky, man. Just like your underwear this week.
Exactly.
God. All right. Well, I'm going to move on to my first topic. It has to do with board games, which we don't have a song for. But I've been designing this board game for quite a long time now. And I'm actually getting to the point where super close to playtesting, and I've got the text written out for over 150 cards, and I'm just working on like the menial amount of art that I want to put together for the playtesting. And I think I can reveal the name of it now, just to our loyal listeners. So don't spread this around Board Game Geek, guys. But the name of this game is called Fearsome Critters: The Ballad of Flapjack Sweet.
Oh, that's taken.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, actually, the new Agricola expansion just came out, and that's what it's called.
I checked the URL.
Yeah, see, it was only registered in the Danish domain name, but it is an international copyright.
Well, yeah, but Swede is spelled with a dollar sign.
Same as in this one.
Damn it!
That's an amazing coincidence.
Ah, fuck. All right. So anyway, I've been designing this game, so I obviously have board game design on the brain. It's kind of something that I'm thinking about at every waking moment.
Nice.
And, you know, for this game, I'm not going to give too much away, but basically I was taking mechanics that I really liked from other games and kind of figuring out how I could incorporate those into kind of a new experience. Mm-hmm. And with that, Jesse, you know, we've done a lot on this podcast. We've created our own personal arguments theme park. We've done a lot of other things. We made... whatever. We were an imaginative bunch. Blaze of Glory. So
the board game.
The board game.
The collectible card game.
Yeah. So, Jesse, I want to build tonight the Personal Arrogance board game.
Interesting.
Going to put our money where about this. Also, always so great to get listener feedback that's like, I don't like comic books. I don't like games. I don't like beer, but for some reason I listen to your podcast.
I actually take that as the ultimate compliment.
It is. It's the greatest compliment ever.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess we're going to kind of break it down a little bit here. So first of all, we need to figure out what kind of board game this is going to be, the Personal Arrogance board game. Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite mechanics in board games?
Probably my favorite mechanic is worker placement.
Go ahead and explain that a little bit.
So that's like where you have, it's kind of like the backbone of Agricola. You have a certain amount of guys that you control, say three or a lady. Let's be gender neutral here.
Right.
And then you place them on different places on the board that allow you to do different things. So you're sending your worker and you're placing them somewhere to take an action.
Okay. And then basically however they perform that action, you either get points or you get to
you get
make something
resources,
that gives you points.
Or you get you know, you can play, you, like, say you have a hand of cards, but you can only play them if you put your guy on the thing that says, you know, play a card.
Right. And you, the thing about worker placement games is they usually win by victory points.
Right.
So is this game a victory point game?
I think it should, since we have so much great music, I think it should be one of those soundtrack
Oh, I like it.
Games.
Okay, so most soundtrack-driven games are co-op games. So are we moving toward a co-op, a worker placement game?
You know, on one hand, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a podcast working together to create something, but mm-hmm. No, screw it. Let's be competitive.
Okay, good. So, you know, there's a lot of good competitive board game tropes out there. Of course, there's the victory point, victory condition game. There's also the area control game,
mm-hmm.
where you, like, Risk, basically. You try to go out and get as much area as you can and then control that area.
Right.
And then there's also just straight-up war games.
Kill all the other dudes.
Kill everything else. that's your battleship for the layman, right?
Right.
Just go ahead and go out there and kill all of your friends' stuff. You also have the very ruthless economy game in which you try to squash the hopes and dreams of your opponents, much like mm-hmm. Monopoly. I mean, basically, you could take these tropes from the very classic board games. There's also dexterity games, so that's basically your Twister. Right? There's Mousetrap. I don't know what that is. That's just dumb. Those are rolling moves.
That's roll and go.
Roll and move is bullshit. Maybe our game should be roll and move.
No, I think okay. We should be victory point, and you're trying to collect goofs.
Okay, I like that. But I would also love if there was a trivia element to this.
Okay, yeah, you can get bonus points for trivia for sure.
Okay, so I think that... So first of all, we have to figure out what our trivia categories are. Classic tropes of trivia games is that they have categories. You have Cranium, you have Trivial Pursuit. There's so many games out there that have categories. So of course we got movies, we got video games, we got beer. So those are three.
Mm-hmm.
We need
science.
Three more. Science for sure. Is it worse than a punch in the face?
That's a yes or no trivia game.
Yes or no trivia question. Which I love. And then you got wild card.
There you go.
Right? Because sometimes we're wild cards. Okay. So this is great. So we have a worker placement game, victory point, victory condition, with trivia involved. Now, there's also deck building. So what if there was a game that was like a deck building game, but you're deck building with trivia cards? Like you're trying to get the trivia cards that you don't think other people can answer.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
What do you think your opponent doesn't know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're just loading it up with...
Exactly.
Whatever you think your opponent's weak at.
But the only way that... But then the worker placement in this game is that you have different places. So let's just make it a map, because maps are cool as boards. So you have a cinema... You have PAX. You have the theme park. That could be the miscellaneous.
The brew pub.
The brew pub, which is the beer.
Science Center.
Yeah, the Science Center. The World's Fair, if you will. The Tony Stark Expo.
And the Experience Music Project.
Exactly. So you have to get your guys on these different places to get the different trivia cards, mm-hmm. and then you do a trivia round. I love it. I actually love this. It's actually really simple, like as a party game. Maybe something you can play while listening to the Personal Arrogance podcast. You have a board that has these six different things. At the beginning of each turn, player one places one of his arrogant guys on one of these. We have to have different you know, Pawn. So, of course, it'll be Eric Pawn, Jesse Pawn, probably Gino Pawn and Aaron Pawn. Mm-hmm. Probably Roger Dotsie Pawn. Rocky Mountain Correspondent Pawn. And you could put these on the different areas, and then you grab a card from that area, and then you have to ask that question to one of the other people at the table. Mm. And whoever gets the most questions right at the end of however many rounds wins the game.
This is so mean.
It's super mean. You're basically trying to corner people into answering questions that they don't want to answer.
You suck at movie knowledge. Answer this.
Yeah, Jesse, I'm just going movie all... I'm going Cineplex all day with you.
Yeah, but see, I can if I can become player one, then I can block it by putting my worker on the Cineplex over and over.
Exactly. And then...
prevent me from having to answer it.
That's perfect. So you can play defense or you can play offense.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm liking this. It all starts off with a little tiny mat roll off. Dude, this game is actually really simple, and I kind of love the elegance of it.
Mm-hmm.
As like a party game. It's
worker
like
worker placement party trivia game.
Yeah, for nerds.
For nerds.
Like it's competitive and like it's got the trivia element to it. But then
we'll have Mark Griffin create the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Basically, it's a real-time game, and then you just go as long as the soundtrack goes.
There needs to be, like, different phases that
mm-hmm.
shake it up, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So there's got to be, like, a lightning round
mm-hmm.
where whoever's turn it is, when the lightning round music comes on.
Yeah.
Like, he has to answer, like, 10 in a row or lose a point.
Yeah, we'll call that...
of his own choice.
We'll call that the Facebook Roundup.
Yeah.
Rapid-fire questions.
Yeah, something like that.
Do the Facebook Roundup. Oh, God, I love the Is It Worse Than a Punch in the Face category. Those questions are all certified by Personal Arrogance.
No, it's got to be, like...
You
read the question, yeah. And then everybody writes down yes or no.
Yeah, everybody votes whether it's worse than a punch in the face or
and
not.
You try and guess what the rest of the group is going to vote.
This is perfect. This is so good. I kind of love this idea.
In fact, that could be like its own standalone expansion. You can just play Is It Worse Than a Punch in the Face.
Yeah. Is It Worse Than a Punch in the Face is like the easy mode. Like if you just want a simple... Yeah, party game. Is it worse than a punch in the face?
Like, you could just print off a bunch of cards, like Cards Against Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that.
I kind of love this whole thing. I was just joking around at the beginning. Now I'm super serious about this.
Super duper serious.
Jesse, you and me have to keep this between us, because I don't want this idea getting out.
Yeah, definitely don't broadcast it in Ireland.
Anyway, anything else on this? So victory points. So if we're going to have a victory point game, I don't know if it's victory points anymore.
Well, it's based off of the total number of questions you get, right?
Right. I mean, there's also...
There needs to be some sort of, like, goof-o-meter.
Mm-hmm.
Where
yep.
it comes with, like, a wacky-looking doohickey that's powered by two AA batteries. That it's got a microphone. It's like a laugh-o-meter, and if you can tell a joke that makes it go off,
yeah,
like everyone at the table laughs and it sets off the laugh-o-meter, or the goof-o-meter, you get a point.
Yeah, you could just do that. You don't need the goof-o-meter. Like, you could literally just be like, if the majority of people laugh at a joke, then you get a point.
The goof-o-meter is guaranteed to break within the first playing anyway, so... Everyone complains about it on Board Game Geek.
Yeah, exactly.
Under the thread, most worthless board game accessory.
Personal Arrogance the board game. I love it, dude. This could be something. This could be something. God, I love it. All right.
There you go.
Well, let's move on, Jesse. What's your first topic?
Okay, so I want to talk about sports.
Diddly diddly dee dee.
Yeah, we don't have one, do we?
Well, I've got one for Get Off My Running Back. Let me get this up. How do you like that?
Sports.
Sports.
So, the Wall Street Journal dropped a little bit of a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
They have said that NFL league officials have considered selling the Thursday night package to non-traditional media partner, including online players like Netflix, Inc., or Google Play.
I love it. Who watches fucking NFL Network, dude?
I think it's so stupid, and I don't need Thursday Night Football to begin with.
Yeah, I think Thursday Night Football in general is awful. It's bad for the teams.
Like, right, it's bad for the teams. It's really bad for the players.
I don't like that the Seahawks come off a win on Sunday, then have to wait 3 days, fly to Arizona, and play in the game tomorrow.
Yeah.
That ain't fun.
Let's not forget, this is a game. The players should be having fun out there.
Exactly, guys. If you're not having fun, you're not doing it right.
And I guess...
By the way, that's a slogan for the personal arrogance working.
No, it should be basically what we told each other when we started doing this podcast 3 years ago.
Right.
When it stops being fun, we stop doing it.
That's it. That's the personal arrogance board game slogan. That's awesome. Oh, man. Anyway.
I guess a couple of players or a number of players have commented that they think that Thursday games are bad for the players because you're not up to 100% from the last game on Thursday.
Right, it's BS. I mean, first, you could say that the Seahawks, okay, because the Seahawks are playing the Thursday night game on Thursday this week. Then they're playing the Monday night game next week. So they get more time off than anybody for the remainder, but it's still ridiculous. Like, football is an incredibly difficult sport. You're basically in a fight for 60 minutes. Yeah. Especially if you're an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, you're basically just punching dudes for 60 minutes.
Crazy strong people, too.
Yeah, you're punching freaks, dude. You're punching people who are 7 feet tall.
And getting constantly body slammed.
Yeah, 350 pounds, can run a 4.8 40, and can catch a ball, can jump over anybody. Like, they are, like, professional athletes are freaks, dude. It's crazy. Like, yeah. I don't understand how the NBA can find a bunch of people who are 7 feet tall and can, like, move. I'm 6'4", and I cannot move.
Yeah, it is funny.
I can maybe pick up a remote half the time.
Yeah, like,
on my first try.
In general.
Ever. Like, if I'm reaching for the remote, there's a 50% chance that I'm going to fumble it.
Yeah, so... I think it was the Philadelphia Eagles played 3 games in 11 days to start the season.
Because
they did Monday, Sunday, Thursday.
Jeez,
and that's
man.
Just an insane toll.
Yes.
To be asked to undertake.
It doesn't even itself out.
But it doesn't seem like they're going to stop doing it. So if they are going to stop doing it, get it off NFL Network.
Yeah, dude, NFL Network sucks.
Don't bury it in deep cable.
But if you've noticed, one of the things that they do is that they also broadcast it on NFL.com.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. And I know this because I record Get Off My Running Back during the Thursday night game. And if I accidentally click on NFL.com while I'm recording that podcast, checking some stats, it'll like start playing the game. So, yeah, they do. They play it on NFL.com as well.
So they're already like giving it away for free?
Yes, they are.
That's weird. Because yeah. I guess from 2012 to 2013, NFL Network sales went up by 17%,
mm-hmm.
which they think is probably because of the Thursday night game. But it sounds like they're okay with offloading it, and I'd be really interested if it was on Netflix.
It'd be interesting because I think it would be the first streaming Netflix.
Yeah, live streaming Netflix.
Yeah. I could honestly see something more along the lines of Xbox Live because they've already done live streaming sports with their ESPN app on there. But
you're cutting out a huge segment of potential viewers there.
That's true. I mean, Netflix is literally everybody.
No one's going to buy an Xbox to watch football, to watch a Thursday night football game.
That's true. Yeah, and if you have it on Netflix, you can watch it through your Xbox if you really want.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, but that is a big deal. I mean, I'm not getting an Xbox One, but one of the only things that I loved about the Xbox One during rollout was their NFL live stats for your fantasy team. Basically, you can insert your fantasy team and then get live updates while you're watching the game, which
that
is
pretty cool.
Super sweet. Yes.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I don't know. I'm excited about this. I mean... It's like, you just got to ask yourself, when are we going to bite the bullet and just go straight online for television?
I think it's going to be a while. I think they're going to hold on as long as possible.
Well, the thing, like, you know, if you're a fan of the Bald Move Network, you like Breaking Bad, you like Mad Men. Those are two of the big shows. Walking Dead as well. These are all shows that you can buy the episodes after they air on Amazon the next day. So, like, I don't have AMC because I don't pay for cable television, but I can watch Mad Men and keep up with it.
Right.
Because I buy the episodes the day after. They're $1.99 a piece. So over a 13-episode season, I'm spending $26 on Mad Men, stretching over 4 or 5 months, and that's still a way huge shit ton cheaper than paying for cable.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, cable being like $100 a month.
Yeah, exactly. So I already want to move to this model. The only thing is, like, I wish I had ESPN so badly. It's like, it's my crack, dude. Like, if I ever stay in a hotel room, I just sit there and I watch ESPN for, like, hours on end.
Yeah, that's a Cartoon Network for me.
Yeah. It's
specifically,
like,
Adult Swim.
I will literally watch the same episode of SportsCenter 3 times in a row.
That is weird.
Why?
Because, do you really need to ask that?
Sometimes you want to watch the highlights again.
That is weird.
It is weird. It's really weird. And that's the thing. It's like, it's crack. And it's crack in the same way that the internet is crack. Because I could easily spend 3 hours just... Like, last night I watched 20 minutes of a documentary on Juggalos. Because I went down some rabbit hole on the internet.
Is it American Juggalo?
Yeah, I watched, like, the first 20 minutes, and I got so depressed for humanity that I had to stop watching.
Well, whatever. At least they're not violent.
That's... At least they're not violent there. I'm not really sure if you could say they're not violent in general.
I think Juggalos are actually pretty not violent people.
Well, they seem very chill, honestly. But at the same time, I was just kind of sad. It just made me sad. Made me a sad guy. Like, this guy was spray painting his face with actual spray paint.
Well, I mean... You got to do what you got to do when you're a Juggalo brother. Dark Carnival doesn't roll around just for anybody. You got to prove your loyalty.
All right. What were we talking about?
Thursday Night Football.
Thursday Night Football. Your thoughts, Jesse?
I would love if it was on Netflix, but I already have. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know if people would buy Netflix for it.
People already have Netflix, dude. Netflix already accounts for 30% of internet traffic.
What?
Did you know that?
No.
30% of internet traffic during primetime hours is dedicated to Netflix.
In the world?
In America.
30% of all internet in America.
Yes, during primetime is dedicated to Netflix. It does take quite a bit of bandwidth to get those... You know, to get the show streaming to everybody, and that's part of it. But the other part of it is that everybody just watches Netflix. Like we had this question last week. Like, what are you guys watching this year, this new season on TV? It's like, who watches TV, man? Like, live TV. I've tried. I have my one guilty pleasure, and I don't know if I should reveal that on this show. All right, I'm going to reveal it. It's The Voice. I watch The Voice, man. CeeLo Green is my god. He's my Buddha, and I love him.
Yeah, he looks like a Buddha.
He does. He looks like a Buddha. He is a Buddha. Like, Lydia and I like to have conversations like we are CeeLo Green. Like,
okay, yeah. Like, I think you've indulged us a little too much in this.
Jesse, I'm going to keep going. We have this whole plot line where CeeLo Green likes to ride donkeys because he can't ride horses because he's too small. He's a small guy. So we had this idea that CeeLo Green rents the donkeys from the Grand Canyon and rides them around his giant property somewhere with a cockatiel on his shoulder. And then we have this conversation in the CeeLo voice. So I rented some donkeys from the from the Grand Canyon. It's the grace of God. I'm sorry. I have gone too far now.
This is a first installment of weird things married couples do that probably they should not talk about.
I feel bad about talking about this now, but I love CeeLo Green.
And well, God, that's good.
And Christina Aguilera, she took a season off. She looks like $1 million, guys.
Okay, we're done talking about The Voice.
All right.
I'm just saying, well, if Netflix is so successful, and they do still have a little amends to make after the whole Quickster debacle.
Why?
Because they looked like a bunch of assholes when they did that.
They did, but they're... Netflix, like... They brought back Arrested Development.
Like, yeah, fine.
What are you going to do?
I'm just saying, pick up Thursday Night Football as a feather in your cap.
Yeah. I think that Netflix really wants to be the next HBO. And if they can grab a deal to get the NFL, which is one of the hottest tickets in television. Every year the Super Bowl is the highest viewed thing ever in the history of humanity.
Well, actually, it was only a couple years ago that they beat the MASH finale.
That's true, but now every single year the Super Bowl beats the previous Super Bowl in terms of eyes on something. Like, the NFL is the number one television show in the world.
Thursday Night Football does suck.
It does suck. They always have terrible teams. I mean, the Seahawks are playing tomorrow night. Go Hawks. But if they can turn that, because now that Monday Night Football is exclusive to cable viewers, Sunday Night Football's kind of taken that role. But if I can watch, you know, Netflix, if they can figure out a cool way to present Thursday Night Football in a streaming way online, maybe, like I said, inserting your fantasy players and keeping track of your stats as that goes on. Like, I mean, Netflix, they want to be the next HBO. I think they have the opportunity to do that. They've got the shows.
I should go for it.
Yeah.
Are you aware of Google Play? I've never heard of this.
Google Play. It's something that lets you stream from your computer onto your television. It's like a little device that plugs into your TV.
Oh, it's a dongle.
Pretty sure it's a dongle.
Okay. Well, put it on the dongle, wrap it up, and let's move on to trivia.
Let's do it, buddy. All right, we're doing Trivia Pursuit. We're going to do Genus 1 once again. The only genus worth doing from 1981. I'm going to roll a six-sided dice, see which category we do this week. It's a 4, baby. Believe that's science and nature. Nope. It's arts and literature. I'm going to go ahead and re-roll that. 4 again.
Wow, this is good cast.
All right, 3, history, Jesse. This is your strong suit. I like to remind everybody that Jesse has a bachelor's degree in history.
You can go to hell right now.
All right, Jesse, this question's for you. Who served the longest jail term as a result of Watergate?
God, I don't know. Definitely not Richard Nixon.
I'm going to go with Dick Nixon. G. Gordon Liddy, baby.
Oh.
Classic.
Yeah, Nixon was pardoned, I think, by his successor.
By Gerald Ford?
Yeah.
The accidental president?
Is that an Olympic High School local band goof?
It is, but he also was an accidental president. All of the members of the Accidental Presidents, which was a band at our high school, were named after, had names that corresponded to accidental presidents, and Gerald Ford was one of those. Because he wasn't even the vice president. Spiro Agnew was the vice president.
Yep.
Gerald
the
Ford.
Most delicious sounding.
Oh, man. Spiro Agnew.
Doesn't that sound like a delicious Italian dish?
Yeah, doesn't it? It's another callback to Bremerton and Spiro's Italian restaurants. Spiro's Pizza.
Anyway, the listeners in Dublin will sure love this Bremerton, Washington humor.
Exactly. All right, this one's for me. Who is known as the Apostle of Ireland? Very topical. I'm going to go with St. Patrick.
I'm going to go with Dr. Belfast.
It's St. Patrick. You get the snakes out, you're the fucking apostle. Get those snakes off my island. Somebody get snakes these motherfucking snakes off my motherfucking island. Oh, man. Snakes on an ire. There you go. All right. Jesse, this one's for you. Who is America's first public enemy number one?
Al Capone, I think.
Yeah, I think it is Al Capone. I'm going to go with Roddy White. John Dillinger.
Oh, I knew that.
Roddy White down with a hamstring injury.
I think we can put that one in the What Have We Learned file.
I think so, too. Dillinger. right? Is that who the gun's named after? Well, it's Derringer.
That's Derringer.
All right, this one's for me. What New Hampshire hamlet... What is a hamlet? What New Hampshire hamlet rises early to vote first in the U.S. presidential elections? What?
Remember when I said I didn't go to government? Just pretend I didn't.
What hamlet?
It means a small town.
Okay. Okay. It's definitely Montpelier. That's in Vermont. I've screwed up.
I don't know any town in New Hampshire. This is what's New the Hampshire capital of New is Hampshire? Like Delaware.
What's I know that I know what the capital of Delaware is. I don't know what the capital of New Hampshire is. New Hampshire is fuck. Do you even know? Do you know? Montpelier?
I have no idea.
Did I Montpelier, Vermont.
I'll concede.
Oh, it's Dixville Notch, baby.
You know, that does sound familiar.
It is familiar. Dixville Notch. He's also the sidekick in Blaze of Glory 2.
He also invented Minecraft.
The Return of Dixville Notch. Oh, yeah, good one. All right, well, so I win everything.
That scored a zero on the goofometer.
Yep, that one didn't even register. all right, well, I won everything this week, which means the next topic is mine. I'm going to talk about a little movie I saw this last weekend. It's called Gravity.
Oh,
okay. And we have a theme song for this. Here's our movie theme song.
Do you know what nemesis means?
Gravity.
Before you go on.
Yep.
I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Oh, shit. So you don't want spoilers.
I want zero spoilers.
Zero spoilers.
I don't even want to know the main character's name.
Oh man!
And I don't want you to do what the Thai restaurant does to me.
Okay.
When I go in and they ask on a scale of 1 to 5 how much spiciness you want, and I say 1, and then I get home, I'm like, this is so fucking spicy.
Yeah, you should have tried 5, brother. Well,
I'm
and then
I'm asking for a 1 on the scale of 1 to 5 on the spoilometer.
All right. Well,
so I don't want you to pull a Thai restaurant and give me a super spoiled meal.
Are you? So you're going to see this movie this weekend?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
Okay.
It's date night, Saturday night, planned in the books.
All right.
Grandma's watching baby.
Grandma's.
That's how serious it is.
All right. Well, in that case, I will not spoil it for you. I will just say, Jesse, that this is my favorite movie of the year, probably my favorite movie of the last 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So, put that in your pipe and smoke it. And you know what? I'm not going to spoil it.
That's all you can say.
If you're going to talk about it if you're going to watch it this weekend, we can both talk about it next week. And there are definitely some metaphorical things that I want to hit with you next week. So... you better watch it, and we're gonna take a rain trip check on this topic, and we're gonna do it right next week, okay?
Wow, that's called a tease.
That's called a teaser, and that also means that I'm out of topic. So, what's your Seco Topo?
Okay, well, Eric, I want to do a little segment, a new segment that I call Reddit on Wikipedia.
Tusked whales, narwhals, the unicorns of the sea.
Extra, extra, Reddit on...
Wikipedia.
Reddit on...
Wikipedia.
And that's the way it is.
Go for it.
Flawless.
Thank you.
So, basically, yesterday when I was sitting around at home, I had a lot of free time, and I found myself just browsing Reddit.
Right.
And I'm like, this is stupid. I'm getting no content out of this.
I'm getting really tired of Reddit, dude.
I'm at the point where I'm just, like, reading homemade webcomics about Pokemon, and I don't know why.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, I don't want to participate in the community because I know I'll get my feelings hurt just like I always do.
That's the thing. Like, I tried to... What did I try to post? I was like, I'm just going to try to post something... that I think is fun, and then I immediately got downvoted to oblivion, and I was like, fuck you guys, I'm just trying to have fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of haterade going on.
Tons of haterade. It's like a team just won the Super Bowl, and they only have Haterade left because they used all their Gatorade, and that's what they're going to pour on their coach. That's what I feel like when I browse Reddit. I feel like I'm getting a cooler full of Haterade poured on me.
Exactly. So I made a conscious choice.
Okay.
To get off Reddit and go on Wikipedia. I'm like, I'm going to freaking learn something.
Wiki it.
Yeah. So, I don't know if anyone's going to enjoy this.
That should be the new segment. I don't know if anyone's going to enjoy this. That should be the sixth category of the trivia game.
Yeah. No, that's the second tagline after when we stopped doing it.
Right.
But I think Hot Babe Jay will at least.
Mm-hmm.
So I want this segment to be something interesting that I learned on browsing Wikipedia.
Okay.
So I want to ask you a question, Eric.
Okay.
It's a trivia question since you're so good at it and winning everything this week.
Do it.
What city, I'll give you a hint, it's a European city.
Dublin, Ireland.
Was the victim of the longest siege of a capital city.
Okay.
In the history of modern warfare.
In the history of modern warfare. What qualifies as modern warfare?
We'll go back to World War I.
Okay. History of modern warfare. Biggest siege on a capital city.
So longest in terms of duration.
I'm going to go with Paris?
Good answer, but incorrect.
Okay.
It would be Sarajevo.
Oh, Sarajevo.
So, I realized something yesterday. I don't know dick about the Bosnian War.
Yeah. So, which country is Sarajevo in now?
I do believe it is in Bosnia now. Although, it might be like its own...
Bosnia-Herzegovina?
Well, I think recently, like, Sarajevo became its own protectorate. Let's look it up.
Let's Wikipedia this.
Let's bypass the official website.
Yeah, it looks like Sarajevo. It looks like its own. It's like its own protectorate. Just looking at, there's 125 hotels in Sarajevo. If you want to book a hotel, and it's the capital and largest city of Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Wikipedia. So yeah, I wanted to learn a little bit about this because I was like, what the hell was that all about anyway?
Yeah.
I really only knew what I learned from that movie, Wag the Dog, which I watched when I was like 13.
And that wasn't even about Sarajevo. It wasn't even about Bosnia. I mean, it was about Bosnia, but it wasn't about Bosnia.
Right.
Bosnia.
So
this is Clinton's war, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So, like, the Siege of Sarajevo is kind of like something you can base your knowledge of this war around. So... after, like, Bosnia and Herzegovina declared independence from Yugoslavia, the Bosnian Serbs wanted to create a new state called Republika Srpska.
Spell that for me.
S-R-P-S-K-A.
Okay.
So they can go ahead and buy a vowel, am I right?
You just got sage-acked.
You got sage-acked.
Yeah.
And then, basically, they wanted to include parts of Bosnian territory, and they encircled Sarajevo with a force of 13,000 people.
Okay.
So the crazy thing about this story is that this was 1992 to 1996.
Okay.
Friends was on TV while this was happening.
Yeah.
That's what makes it feel super modern to me.
Okay. Are you sure Friends was on TV in 92?
94, so...
Seinfeld was definitely on TV.
For the first 2 years of Friends...
Okay.
A major European capital city was besieged.
Are you sure? I just gotta double check this.
Look it up.
Because I know that Seinfeld was on in 92, but I was 7 years old. Oh, you're saying 94?
Yeah.
So yeah, so you're right. Friends series, 94 to 2004.
Yeah, so... while people are
Joey Woe,
Ross and Rachel at the Central Perk.
How you doing?
Yeah, exactly. And laughing at that. A European city is under siege.
Yeah.
And so Sarajevo sustained 329 shell impacts per day on average.
Jeez.
With a maximum of 3,777 on the 22nd of July, 1993. So I got a little story.
Okay.
Let's lighten the air a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we are talking about war, which is weird.
I feel sad.
The moral of this story is war sucks.
Yep.
By the way. So, on May 27th, 1995, Serb soldiers posing as French troops captured two UN observation posts at a bridge. They wore French uniforms, flak jackets, and helmets, were armed with French weapons, and drew a French armored personnel character, all stolen from UN troops outside the city, and they disarmed 12 peacekeepers at gunpoint.
Okay.
I think they should make a movie about these guys.
Yeah, it's like the Captain Phillips of Bosnia.
Exactly. That's the tagline.
Well, tagline central here.
But I don't know, man. This whole thing is crazy.
It's so crazy. Like, this is the interesting thing about this is, like, and then, you know, eventually U.S. intervention occurred. My uncle actually went to Bosnia during this time.
Really?
Yeah. He was
part of Operation Deliberate Force.
Yeah.
Which is a good operation name.
That's actually a really good operation name. It's not, like, overly patriotic. It's this is actually what we're going to do.
Yeah. I think it's, like, because it was a UN effort, it couldn't be, like, Soaring Eagle.
I always like Shock and Awe.
Shock and Awe. Desert Storm. Was that Desert Storm? Desert Storm. I like.
Desert Storm's a classic operation name.
World War II.
My uncle went down there for this because he was in the military. He was in the army in Germany at the time. Not German army, but he was at an American military base in Germany. Anyway. But like, this is really interesting because, you know, this is seen as Clinton's war, right? This was like the biggest thing that Clinton got into militarily during his presidency.
Right.
And it's very eerily similar to what's happening in Syria right now.
Yeah. It's very Syria style.
And I think we could talk about this we're talking about this from a historical perspective, not from any political perspective.
Right.
But
it's a civil war.
Yeah.
That became a very long-term thing, and a lot of civilians were suffering.
Exactly.
War crimes were committed, and eventually the international community decided whether or not to step in.
Yeah.
And which is what's happening right now in Syria.
It's the international community, but it's basically we got Russia to take care of it. I mean, that was basically it, right? I mean, it's that now Russia's in charge of making sure that Syria plays by the rules when they're killing their own people.
Mm, okay. I thought you meant the Bosnian situation.
No, I'm talking about Syria.
Gotcha, yeah.
You know, you can kill your own people with bombs. That's okay.
Yeah.
But
as long as you play fairsies.
As long as you're killing babies with bombs, I'd have no problem with it. As soon as you put some chemicals in those bombs, I am super mad.
It is weird.
It's super weird. War is fucking hell. Like it's the legitimate. It's like that is the phrase that mostly encapsulates war.
Yeah, it really is. And
it's like in war.
I don't know. Like I hate to be on like anti video game everything, yeah. But I think people do get desensitized by like your Call of Duty, where it's just like, yeah, blow it up. It's so cool. Crack, 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 crack.
Well, I think that. There's that, and then there's also we're desensitized by media in general.
Right.
It's like, there's some statistic that, like, on average there are 60 wars happening on the planet every year.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's just a soundbite on the news. And then,
right.
and then here's an uplifting story from a hospital in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Where a high school teacher has, you know, defeated lung cancer. Mm-hmm. Miraculously.
By the help of its kitten, Bernard.
I think that you're missing my obvious Breaking Bad reference. I am up to season 3 now.
Oh, yeah, that's right over my bald head.
Anyway, we could talk about it. But the interesting thing about this, like, if you were going to go send intervention in the 90s, and, you know, Clinton had his own, he had two government shutdowns in the 90s, there wasn't a lot of, like, you know, there wasn't a lot of resistance to that. If you're doing that now, after Afghanistan, after Iraq, any military intervention in any circumstance is seen as a major political opportunity for a lot of people, and then also very unpopular with the public, which I think is really interesting. Anyway, that's a historical perspective. I don't know if that's where you wanted to go with this, but...
No, I didn't know where I wanted to go with it.
Okay.
I probably won't bring this up as a topic again because it's not very entertaining, but...
I think it's interesting, though. I mean, like you said, like, you have a keen sense of history, especially if you're looking at World War II, and you've studied this stuff for a long time. This is something that really interests you, and... The reason why you study history, you know, the classic trope is that you study history so that you don't repeat it. But at the same time, you want to look at trends and events over time and how they connect with each other. And, you know, that's an extremely interesting topic, at least to me.
Sarajevo, quietly one of the most interesting cities in Europe in terms of world events. Because, of course, you got the assassination of the Archduke Francis Ferdinand.
Right, starting World War One.
Yeah, and then you have this this crazy siege, the longest siege in modern military history.
Yeah, I mean, not
another thing. I would love to go to Sarajevo.
Yeah, not to mention a beautiful part of the world. Like, I think
you still have time to cancel your trip to Hawaii. Sarajevo in December is just magnifique.
Right. But this is like, you know, everybody talks about how beautiful Italy is, and Italy is a very, very beautiful part of the world. I mean, there's a reason why people love to go there, especially on vacation. But you go right across the boot, like that's a part of the world that we're talking about here,
right?
Like, you're talking about Bosnia Herzegovina, you're talking about Montenegro. Like, there is a whole... I watched a Rick Steves special on this, and like, this is a beautiful part, you know, Mediterranean part of the world, on par scenery wise with Italy, with Greece, with Sicily, like this classic Mediterranean, Eastern Mediterranean, beautiful part of the world. Like, I think that this is kind of a forgotten corner.
Right. And it was colonized by the Ottomans for a long time. So you have a large Middle Eastern influence.
Exactly. Yeah. This is
to shake things up.
This is where the Middle East meets Europe.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. I mean, Turkey is kind of the focal point of that, but this is kind of the areas around there. Anyway.
So, yeah, moving on. I'm just on a little bit of a, I guess, a self-improvement campaign to stay off of the Reddit and get on the Wikipedia and start learning some stuff.
I love this idea, dude.
So, if anyone has any suggestions of, like, kind of understated historical things that I could read up on. I started reading up on the Indonesian invasion of East Timor. That's nutso, too.
Jeez. Well, you were kind of on a war kick.
I am kind of on a war kick. I was also reading up on... the Ottoman siege of Venice in like the 1400s.
Is this possibly where you got your Halloween costume idea from?
Yeah.
Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, there's this guy called Suleiman the Magnificent.
Yeah, Suleiman, the classic Suleiman.
Yeah, he was a emperor of the Ottoman Empire,
right?
And in the Middle East, he's known as Suleiman the Lawmaker because he like reformed their legal system and everything. But I took a look at him, I was like, I think this is a historical doppelganger.
It totally is a historical doppelganger.
Same mustache,
yeah,
exactly the same mustache.
Also a redhead.
Redhead,
ginger,
thin neck, big hat.
There you go. wasn't that also a classic, you know, speaking from a historical perspective, wasn't the red head, there's a lot of theories that attribute that to the Huns?
Yeah, I guess Genghis Khan has been described as having red hair.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, who knows? It's too far back to know.
There's no way to know. There's no way to know. One very fun game that I've heard about and I've actually played on Wikipedia is that you start on a page, and then you get another topic, and you have to get to that topic by only clicking links on Wikipedia pages.
Yeah, I've heard, like, 6 degrees to human sexuality.
Well, there you go.
Where you do, like, a random one, and then within 6 clicks, you should be able to get to human sexuality.
I haven't heard about that. Well, maybe we should try 6 clicks to Kevin Bacon.
Or just bacon.
Or just bacon in general. All right. Well, let's move on to our Facebook roundup. But before we do, we've got to talk a little bit about the Ball Move Network. I want to thank everybody for being a part of the Watching Dead Kickstarter campaign. Especially everybody personally who bought at the $35 level or above and got the shirt that I designed. I'm very excited about that. There is the Fiesta Del Lori shirt that was designed by yours truly, and apparently the Heisenboni shirts that I also designed have been shipped out. So everybody who got those shirts, I really appreciate it, and it always makes me happy to think that people are wearing a shirt that I designed somewhere in the world.
Yeah, dude, there's a lot of people wearing shirts you've designed walking around.
There's at least 5,000 Mariners shirts that I designed that are rambling around town, so
right.
Probably most at Value Village, but who knows? But yeah, there. I want to thank everybody who was a part of that Kickstarter campaign. Also, yeah, like we said, Watching Dead is now up. There's the first episode and 2 instant casts up on baldmove.com. Be sure to follow that. If you love Walking Dead, that is the only thing you need to listen to. Of course, we have the Because Show, The Great Ladies Down in L.A. We have Up Yours Downstairs, The Great Edwardian Television podcast. We have Get Off My Running Back, which is my weekly football podcast. Next episode is going to feature A-Ron. He's back. And I'm going to get him to talk about the Bengals because I can't hear about the Colts anymore from him, honestly. And of course, we're on there, Personal Arrogance. So check out baldmove.com. Also, please get in touch with us here at Personal Arrogance. You can by writing us an email at personalarrogance@gmail.com, giving us a call, leaving us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. We're also on Twitter at Personal Podcast, and we are on the Bald Move Facebook page and our own personal Facebook page, the Personal Arrogance Podcast. Find us on Facebook and follow us there. All right, Jesse, let's do a Facebook roundup. Speaking of Facebook,
let us.
Each week we post on Facebook and say, hey, we're recording tonight. Want us to talk about anything? And you guys tell us, and we talk about it now. Sam Golmohammadi, another guy from across the pond, says, hey, guys, 2 weeks ago you were talking about the Reaper Kickstarter, and as a fan of such, I saw this other Kickstarter for Dark Lords First Edition. Wanted to know what you think. This is a miniatures game, but it's also a tabletop game. Jesse, what are the... You've talked about this a little bit before because you've played Warhammer from right. a tabletop perspective. What is I still don't get it. Like, what is the appeal of these tabletop mini games? Like, from a gameplay perspective, because I know I love painting miniatures, but what is the appeal from the gameplay perspective?
Just tactics.
Yeah.
Like, getting your guys in the right position to be able to do something good and avoiding opponent strengths and, you know.
So it's basically like
fighting
straight
a tactical
up,
battle.
It's like in the movies when you see, you know, like the guys with the map and all the little guys and they're pushing them around with the stick. It's
well,
basically
that
but in a game form.
Strategy.
Okay.
It's more like in Lord of the Rings and there's a big battle and you have like the archers over here and the cavalry over there and, you know, pikemen here and you're going to move this unit there and this movement there to hit them at this point and then form your horses up into a wedge and try and divide them and then send in your reserves to entangle them and then focus on their catapults or whatever, that kind of thing.
It sounds cool. I'm just a little skeptical of the practice.
Well, it's a very involved hobby.
Yeah. Well, regardless, if you're into that stuff, Darklands First Edition, check it out on Kickstarter. Michael Merriman says, if you could only listen to one album for the rest of your life, what would it be? Do you have an answer for this, Jesse?
The Bill Cosby comedy album.
Hello! How long can you tread water? I'm going to say Death Cab for Cutie Transatlanticism. I think it's an easy answer for me. It's my favorite band, my favorite album from my favorite band.
There you go, easy answer.
Chris Baker, government shutdown update. Apparently government shutdown's over.
Is it? I hadn't heard this.
Yeah, Senate reached a deal today. House just voted on it. Obama signing it. Debt ceiling avoided. So it was a fun 2 weeks for The Daily Show. And, yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit. I think that the tagline for this is fuck this noise. I think that we talked about that. Basically, yeah, government shutdown, fuck that noise.
I just feel like... The 3-year-old has stopped having the tantrum and now wants me to feel, congratulate it.
Guess what, guys? We did nothing.
Yeah. Good job doing nothing.
Great job doing nothing.
If this were the real world, none of you would have jobs on Monday.
Really? You did the nothing you did the hell out of doing nothing.
Yeah.
Rob Zip says, BrewDogs visiting Seattle. BrewDogs, the reality TV show featuring brewers. And not the Milwaukee Brewers. But I wonder what brewery they're visiting.
I wonder how many homebrewers are on the Milwaukee Brewers.
That's a good question. I know that Ryan Braun has some time. Baseball humor. That one did not win the goof token.
Goofometer is steady.
Josh Aparigo says, favorite car from TV/movies? Good question. Jesse, do you have one in mind?
Why don't you answer? I'll think about it.
I think it's got to be DeLorean just because it's my favorite trilogy of all time. It's Back to the Future trilogy. So DeLorean is definitely there. I love the Tumbler from, Batman Begins. I also love the, what is it called? I can't remember the name of it, but the car that was the float at the end of Animal House. I love that car.
I like the Sandcrawler.
Sandcrawler's great. From the Jawas?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a car, though. It's more of a moving apartment complex.
More, yeah, it really is.
I also like the taxi from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I like the Death Star. It's like a car in space.
Exactly. I mean, there is the Sand Speeder. I think that's technically a car.
Yeah, the Sand Speeder's stupid, though.
It is,
I'm more of a Snow Speeder guy.
Totally.
Call me crazy.
Kyle says, who are you rooting for in baseball? You should switch to the Tigers since they beat the A's and they do have Doug Fister. Okay, here's the deal with baseball, guys. The final four of baseball is the Cardinals, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, and the Tigers. I could not care any less about these teams. It's like, why don't you just put every team that's dominated the last decade into the playoffs and then guess who I'm going to root for? Nobody.
Wouldn't the Yankees be in there?
I hate that.
Sorry.
Honestly, if the Yankees were still in, I'd be rooting for the Yankees just for the Ichiro factor. But the fact of the matter is, like, the great teams are gone. The Pirates are gone. The A's are gone. The Rays are gone. Any of these teams that I like rooting for are gone. I don't have any love for the playoffs anymore. I can't even get excited about it. I just want next season to start. Jesse, your thoughts on baseball? And John Dominick.
Going on?
John Dominick says, by the way, JR from Philly, I'm excited to get that beer in the mail. Jesse, he still needs your address, doing some housekeeping.
I just sent it over to him.
Okay, he says, Jonathan Drozd was excited that he got new windows installed in his house.
Dude.
Sounds like a sign we're getting old. What benchmarks have you hit that you are getting old?
Jesse? Yeah, I'm hitting those benchmarks every day. Uh-huh. When it seems like me having serious conversations about like what kind of pillow I sleep on and how it affects my jaw.
I think, first of all, pain. Like, I'm starting to get little aches and pains.
For my last Christmas, or was it my birthday, my mother-in-law bought me a shop vac. I was like, this is the best present I've ever gotten.
Yeah, that was my birthday this year. I got a few presents, but very few presents. The thing that I loved about my birthday this year is I got to go out and eat a really good meal at a restaurant.
Yeah, totally. When, like, just going out is, like, a super luxury instead of feeling boring. Or, like, when you start wishing that you're going to get socks and sweaters for Christmas.
Well, also, like, I had, this vacation coming up. I'm really excited to go on a vacation where I don't have to do anything but lay on the beach.
Yeah, that was totally me. I was like, I'm going to read the hell out of Game of Thrones, and that's it.
And then I have, I was reading this thing. It's like, you're in your late 20s when? And the one that I really loved that stuck with me was like, you can't get that worked up about Miley Cyrus. Like, I really don't care.
Yeah, you just stop caring. You're like,
yeah.
When you start saying things like, well, boys will be boys, or kids these days.
Kids these and days. Like Miley,
I just don't understand that music.
I'm like, I just want to listen to Hawaiian slack key guitar. That's all I want to listen to. So
drink
many
a Mai Tai and do nothing.
So many things. Robert says, some TV. Sleepy Hollow was crazy and silly but fun. Arrow is a great superhero guilty pleasure, and New Walking Dead was great. Sleepy Hollow is actually something that kind of appeals to me because I like that era of history. I like George Washington. What was his name?
Carver.
What is that? Is that the right guy, though?
Because he cut his head off.
That's not George Washington Carver, was it?
George Washington Carver invented peanuts.
Yeah, he invented peanut butter. What am I? Washington Irving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I like that whole era. I love Ichabod Crane. But I don't know. I might check it out on Hulu.
The only thing I watch on TV is The Family Feud before I go to work.
Yep.
And NFL football. Basically.
This is The Voice.
Oh, yeah.
Team Blake, bros. Okay.
What does CeeLo Green have to say about getting old, Eric?
You know, getting old, it's like a fine wine. Like, you just gotta drink it up, and then you gotta smell it. And then it's gonna smell good because it smells like old people.
Very insightful, CeeLo.
I can't do it. It's funny when I do it with my wife, and that's another side of getting old. Things that are only funny when you do them with your wife. And then finally, Anthony just got to slid this one here. State mottos. Jesse, I'm going to give you a state. Give me the motto.
Oh, my God. On the spot.
This is not a trivia question. You're going to have to come up with the motto.
Okay.
Okay. Finally, South Dakota.
The do we have a mountain with faces on it state?
Mm-hmm. Do we? Come here and find out.
Question mark.
Come here and find out. You got a state for me?
Oh, let's go with... Well, let's do New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. I can't name a city here.
New Hampshire. We dare you to name a city.
Is that the Live Free or Die Hard? Oh, I'm sorry. That's the name of a movie. God damn it, New Hampshire. New Hampshire, better than Old Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Fuck Old Hampshire. By the way, where's Old Hampshire?
All right, Jesse, what's your first reco?
Well, I only have one.
Okay.
Because I forgot about this. But if you want to look at some disturbingly beautiful pictures
on Who the does internet, it?
Look up Sarajevo Rose.
What's that?
It's, so in Sarajevo... This episode is brought to you by the Sarajevo Tourism Council.
Yep.
Basically where, like, mortars went off and exploded the street.
Uh-huh.
If someone was killed when the mortar hit, they filled it in with red resin.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like a floral pattern just because of, like, the nature of the explosion. And it's, like, eerily, creepily beautiful.
Jeez, that's weird, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to go to Sarajevo.
Dude, you know...
I want to see where Archduke Franz Ferdinand got killed. I want to see where all these Sarajevo roses are. And I want to drink some Bosnian-Herzegovinian beer.
You know, Reddit might be depressing. Just because from, like, you're a humanity perspective. But Wikipedia is depressing from, like, a humanity perspective.
See, reading about history doesn't depress me. It just makes me feel grateful that I live...
I know,
the life
right?
That I live.
Yeah. You know, guys, they're going to shut down the government. We can't go to the monuments.
Oh, no. I live in the worst country ever.
There's some fucked up shit in history. That would be the best name for like a history textbook, would just be fucked up shit.
That's our next Kickstarter project.
Fucked up shit
by Eric and Jesse.
All right.
Historiography.
My first reco, I recommended it before, but I gotta recommend it again, guys. The Weed Whacker Session Ale. If you can still get this stuff from Terminal Gravity, it is so good. I don't know why they don't do it year round because, like,
timely recommendation.
I know, right? I like to watch, football and drink a Session Ale. So usually I just drink Session from Full Sail. But, like, come on. It's delicious.
Yeah, dude. If you had a lot more space. And free time.
Yep.
I would really love to teach you how to homebrew, because then you could just design your own special beer.
Well, I've homebrewed before.
Right, but I mean, you gotta get like all the equipment.
Yeah,
stuff,
that's not gonna happen.
Room and, yeah.
I'm not gonna forfeit my carport.
Someday.
Well, I guess it's
because then you could just make your own weed whacker.
Oh, delicious. I don't know, dude. I don't know if I could do a lager. That'd take a while to figure out how to do that.
Well, no, it's not any harder than making a ale. It just takes longer.
All right. Well, in that case, guys, I think it's time to call it a cast.
Let us.
Jesse, thank you so much for joining us this week. Please heal your mouth.
Kill your mouth?
Yeah, kill your mouth.
Okay.
With some vomit in a sore.
You could have just told me I was, you know, going on a little too much.
Heal your mouth, sir. And listener, please keep in touch. Until next time, remember that wherever you go...
And whatever you do...
Please! Stay arrogant.